This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 3rd of February, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller on the news, including Governor Braun joining us with comments on helping retiring farmers, passing on the farm to a young or beginning farmer, and how will tariffs affect fertilizer prices? The Hat Podcast today brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them at ffbt.com. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here. He says mild air continues, and the corn, bean, and wheat markets on Friday ended the month with profit-taking. We'll have settlements and Brian Basting market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at FFBT.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Attention farmers, a big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
The potential for tax credits for retiring farmers and how tariffs might impact fertilizer prices. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. In his first State of the State address last week, Governor Mike Braun addressed the needs of farmers and agriculture. One of those needs...
Let's address our aging ag workforce with a tax credit for retiring farmers passing their farms on to the next generation. They need that help.
Legislation to do just that was introduced in the Indiana House by District 16 Representative and Jasper County farmer Kendall Culp. In HB 1191, this bill allows a total tax credit of $67,000 off your Indiana income tax if you were to max it out by partnering with a young and beginning farmer. Culp says that is defined in the bill.
It's a farmer that has farmed for less than 10 years or has filed a Schedule F for less than 10 years. And so there's limitations on how old that farmer can be. And the retiring farmer has to be at least 60 years old to be able to take advantage of that.
Culp says his bill might lose its individual identity, which he's fine with, because Governor Braun has included this language and the funding for it in his budget. So if the budget bill passes, then so does this. He provides more details from the bill.
So if you sell or lease your farm to a young beginning farmer, you're eligible for this tax credit. If it's a cash rent arrangement, you get so many dollars or percentage of the cash rent as the credit. If it's a grain share, crop share, then you get a percentage of the price of that crop to go for that. If it's strictly a livestock operation, then you get so many dollars per head of, if it's swine, for example, a swine produced, all counts towards that $67,000 maximum.
Culp joined me on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast to discuss this bill and many of the other 14 agriculture-related bills he's helped author this session. Find it now at HoosierAgToday.com or in the free Hat mobile app.
One of the greatest advantages of working with your local farmer-owned cooperative is sharing in its success. Keystone Cooperative is thrilled to announce over $68 million in patronage, all being paid back to our farmer owners after a historic 2024. That's 57% of our profits going directly to the farmers who own us. Unlike private or publicly owned companies, Keystone reinvests in Main Street, not Wall Street. We're proud to return this $68 million to farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. The Keystone Cooperative Advantage, centered on you.
President Trump's tariffs on Mexico and Canada, as well as additional tariffs on China, started over the weekend. How will those tariffs impact prices on fertilizer? C.J. Miller has the story.
There's a lot of different viewpoints of who actually pays the tariff.
And that's Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer with StoneX.
And I think a lot of that comes back to pressure and timing and the ability to shift supplies. And frankly, in the fertilizer world, it comes down to the product.
He believes that President Trump's 25% tariff plan on Canadian imports will cause a significant interruption in the supply chain.
When we look at urea, there's a tremendous amount of urea that flows from the U.S. to Canada in the eastern half of the country. In the western half of the countries, Canada sends a lot of urea down to the Pacific Northwest, California region. So there's a shared flow there. You flip over to anhydrous. There's a lot of anhydrous that comes from Canada down into the U.S. We're highly reliant on that. A lot of phosphate comes from the U.S. to Canada. They're depending on us there. And then potash is the biggest one. It's hard to understate just how important Canadian potash flows are to the U.S.
Linville also says the timing of all this doesn't exactly help farmers.
There's not a lot of time before we start pre-plant application. I mean, we are now days away from the month of March. That simply doesn't give us enough time to say, oh, okay, we'll just go buy it from somewhere else around the world.
I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Starting off the week with mild air still holding over most of the Hoosier State. As we talked about late last week, this is going to be a week that's very interesting. We've got cold air pooling over Canada and the northern United States, just looking for an opportunity to sag south. You've got plenty of warm air over central and southern parts of the U.S., just looking to try and hold in. But then you've got this kind of striation across the U.S. The airflows are stratified west to east, so I don't think we see a lot of change right away here. So we stay mild today, probably see a slow sagging of cool air on Tuesday, such that we're probably cooler a little bit tomorrow than we are today, but we're not brutally cold by any stretch. And then we get into midweek and warm air tries to start to come back. Now, do we see the clouds increase a little bit on Wednesday? I think we do. We have a weather system that's forming out to our west in the Missouri Valley, wanting to head towards us. We had been looking at this later in the week, but it may be trying to come a bit early now. So I'm going to say potentially Wednesday, late afternoon, evening, we deal with our first round of rain shower activity. That rain lingers through a large part of Thursday. Cooler air coming in behind it for Friday into Saturday, and then we have another surge of warm air bringing rain back late Saturday night through Sunday. So it's going to be a wet week again here, definitely slowly but surely getting this soil moisture profile to kind of catch up with the dryness that we saw last fall. So two events here. I think the Wednesday-Thursday event likely brings us anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch, 90% coverage of Indiana, and then the Saturday night-Sunday time frame brings us likely a quarter to one full inch with coverage around 90% of the Hoosier State. The cold air that's in behind it is here for next Monday and Tuesday. I think we start to see that cool air ease a little bit as we head toward Valentine's Day, but we may not break out and get warm air completely back until we get into the third week of February now. So that upper level ridge that was trying to form out of the western United States getting tamped down a little bit now. So we may have to extend our cold air coverage through the middle of February. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
And end of the month sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Back and forth in beans, but lower all day in corn and wheat. Settlements coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. For that, I spoke in the middle of the session with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Markets mostly lower most of the Friday session. Beans were higher and then started to move lower towards the close. So an up and down week as we go into the month of February, Brian.
Well, thanks for having me, Andy. Up and down sure is a good summary again this week because we've approached some levels in corn futures, Andy, we haven't seen since Memorial Day last year when nearby corn futures, anyhow, with March futures this week at $5 bushel, just a smidgen below that. I think up like $4.94 this week. So a lot of support there coming from ongoing strength in export demand. We had another good week of export sales of corn, over 50 million bushel, reported by the USDA on Thursday. And we're in the middle of corn pollination, Andy, in Argentina. And it's mixed forecast. It's been warm and dry, but now they're calling for the week of February 3rd through February 10th or so to be wetter, anywhere from 1 to 2.5 inches. So as we all know in the Midwest here, get into mid-July, those forecasts can make or break a pollinating corn crop. So a lot of uncertainty there, up and down. Then we add in the variable, Andy, of the tariff issue that may or may not occur here. President Trump has talked about imposing tariffs up to 25% on Canada and Mexico. And of course, that would potentially have some impact there also in the ag products. For example, Mexico is the largest importer of U.S. corn this year by far. So just something to keep in mind. I guess that what I'd summarize it, Andy, is it's a recipe for volatility, and we are seeing that. But I think from a producer side, it's still a recipe for opportunity. Strongly encourage your listeners to be disciplined in your marketing, avoid price prediction, keep a floor underneath these bushels, but leave the upside open. There's a lot of potential both ways, to the downside and the upside. I'd add, Andy, particularly since the commodity funds are holding a very large long position in corn at the moment.
You said avoid price prediction. Isn't it rather hard to do that?
It is, but in marketing, Andy, I think everyone has an opinion. It's only human nature, but opinions in marketing get in the way of success. And by that, I mean you set a target, and if the market doesn't get to that target, what are you going to do? In this case, for example, if you set a target this week to sell corn when March corn got to $5, it didn't, and now it's backed off. Well, it might still, but the point is that there's quite a bit of equity there at stake, Andy, for any unpriced corn bushels. The grass corn markets rallied, I would say, 75 cents to a dollar, depending on what regional basis trends you're looking at, from the harvest lows last fall. And so that's a lot of equity at stake. Are you willing to risk that just because the market fell a nickel short of your target? So, yes, everyone has an opinion, but it's okay to do that. But I'd strongly advise that from a risk management standpoint that you have a floor in place because, again, we could come in here next week and get more rain in Argentina, perhaps a more bearish tone, perhaps on the tariff side, and the funds all of a sudden start to bail out and all of a sudden you lose 15, 20 more cents on corn. So my point is that it's an opportunity, Andy, to take advantage of this rally we've seen by putting the floor underneath the market. Sure, you can have an opinion on price, but don't let that dictate what you're going to do. So execute. Execute, in this case, enjoy the higher prices and execute. And the phrase you might be able to use is enjoy and execute because we certainly didn't see this coming. Maybe as recently as January 9th, Andy, before that January 10th report came out that showed much lower yields here in the U.S.
Market commentary from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, 8.25 down on March corn. It ended the month at 482. May 493, 8.5 cents lower. In July, 7.5 down at 496.75. Over in beans, mostly gains through the session, but then a late sell-off. Down 2 cents on the March, 1042. May 1057.5 down 2.25, and July down 2.25, 1072.25. And Chicago wheat lower, March 559.5 down 7 cents, May down almost 7, going to 572.25. Meats quiet and mixed. February live cattle up 12, 204.60, up 80 cents on the April, and February lean hogs down 20 cents, 84.72. April 90.35, down $1.57. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.